Actually, getting female followers is so hard. Tougher than attracting male audience. The split is about like 70-30. Personally, for me, I do not date my fans. For boyfriends, because I'm a huge gamer, so I tend to have a tendency to like people who game as well, especially people who play the same game as me. So for everyone who plays League of Legends, you guys have a chance.
What rank are you in League of Legends?
I was peak diamond.
Whoa, Diamond One?
No, four. You
That's
play?
all. I used to play a few years ago.
Were you like playing a lot?
I used to play a lot. I think I started in like end of season one, start of season two.
My God, you're so. I started season three, so that kind of tells your age. 99?
I'm born in 99.
Oh, what? Oh, actually, I was expecting you to be like older because of this like podcast. Like, I think generally young people they don't do all this, but that's cool. I'm like 2000.
Thank you so much for doing this, Yuli. I'm very, very excited to have you on.
I'm excited to be here too.
So, how I first found, I think I was scrolling through Instagram and then I saw your sort of reels and you do these super funny, sort of quirky, sort of skits. And I think that's how I started. And then I went through your content. You're constantly generating these cool skits and your reach is like amazing. You've like crushed it when it came to sort of content creation. And I learned that you also do streaming and you're into gaming. So that's sort of how I found about you, Yuli. I guess please share with the audience a bit about who you are and what you're currently focused on.
Okay, I think so. I'll start with like how I started out. So I actually started out as a cosplayer at the age of like 16, so I was really young. And then I think eventually I kind of transitioned into lifestyle. So it was more of like photo shoots and all those kind of stuff. And I think the breaking point, oh no, the breakout point was actually during COVID when I was actually with a Korean agency for about 3 years. So that's when I really started churning out all kinds of content, comedy skits or like back then was a bit like dance on TikTok, right? For about 3 years. And after COVID, I realized that I would prefer to do comedy. So that's kind of how I kind of just did more comedy, more skits, and whatever content that you see today. Yeah.
That's so cool. So you went from doing cosplays to doing comedy and skits. Like that's so different and so cool.
Yeah. So I think the change was very gradual. So I think my followers who followed me for cosplay definitely seen the growth and seen all the kind of content changes, the kind of content I tried to experiment with, and I'm very glad they stuck with me till today. Yeah.
That's so cool. Whereabouts are you based currently, Yuli?
I'm based in Singapore actually, but I think majority of my followers don't know that because I don't explicitly say. And I think the kind of content I do is very American, and not local content, so it's very hard to guess where I'm from. Yeah.
Yeah, you do have the Singaporean accent.
Yeah,
Did you go to high school? Did you study after high school? Or did you go straight into sort of cosplaying and content creating? What was that journey like?
so I cosplay started out in 16. So that was, I think, the secondary school in Singapore is equivalent to middle school in America, right? And then, so I was kind of like studying and doing all this at the side. So when I entered polytechnic, which is the equivalent of high school, I was kind of doing both at the same time. So that took a lot from me. I think I was spending like 8 hours in school, and then afterwards you do like 5 hours of content and like practicing for content. So that was quite an experience. I think that journey, juggling both school and content, kind of made me used to the schedule I have today, which is like working long hours, and kind of shape my mental to be like resilient and more open to working long hours. Yeah, so that was quite a journey growing up.
That's so, wow, I was not expecting that. That's so cool. Like when you were doing like 5 hours after school of practicing, so it was like exercise or something that you learned. It was like a routine you had. It was like going to the gym for you. But for you just sort of practice content. Tell me about that.
So during the 3 years of this Korean agency that I was in, they actually, okay, I wouldn't say forced, but it was like a daily thing to practice like an hour of each every day. So just like a Korean trainee, I would liken it to like a trainee idol. it would be like 1 hour of like just expressions and just like imitating emotions and stuff. This would help with our skits and like acting and general like camera performance. And then an hour of like dancing because dancing would lead to better poses and basically your charisma on camera. So these things like that, but every day. So this is on top of actually creating content. And sometimes when you do content, not everything would be good enough to be uploaded. So then you would have to practice and refilm it for another day. So all this kind of thing adds up to about easily 5 to 6 hours every day. So for the first year, I think 2018, 2019, this was before COVID. So I actually did this for a year and then COVID came, which is a blessing in disguise, I guess. We're all like kept at home, so that means I could practice more. So I continued to practice for about 2 years until I left the agency. And then I think I have, during those 3 years of like practicing every day, kind of shaped me to be someone that can pick up things very easily, and I'm very grateful for the experience. Yeah.
How does it work? Like, did the agency found you on Instagram, or did you approach the agency? And then what's the difference between staying with the agency versus going off on your own?
The agency, so I think they found me online, and that's how they kind of like picked me up. So because it was a Korean one, so it was very online. So we would kind of send in our practice videos for them to like criticize, or we give constructive criticism. And then I think one of the Singapore representative would be in Singapore to like meet us up and like have monthly talk sessions and sorry, progress sessions. Yeah. I think since I was younger, I did not know any better. I think the agency being there to guide us was really useful. And the difference between being in an agency and not being in an agency, generally, agencies are helpful if you are very busy and you need someone to kind of delegate your workload. Like, for example, emails, admin work, and negotiations. I would definitely recommend you to have someone or an agency to help you front that. Because I think as a talent, it is really very hard to negotiate and talk about money. Yeah. Whereas if you are alone, if you're freelance, there are some perks to it. You have more creative freedom, you get 100% of your cut, and generally you would feel more free. Yeah.
Before you were approached by the agency, were you already doing cosplay? Did you already have a following on Instagram? Tell me about the before.
So before, I think I just turned 18. I had a small following, I think about 20,000. So back then, I just dropped out of junior college, actually, because I didn't like what I was studying. So I was in my first year of polytechnic, which is high school, and I was just doing cosplay like for fun. I didn't think it would be a full-time thing. I wasn't very consistent as well. I was posting about maybe once every 2 weeks, which is crazy now that I think about it because I post every day now. Back then it was fun. I didn't think it was like a money-making opportunity. I was just very passionate about cosplaying the things I like. And then the agency found me. I trained with them and then I learned a lot of things like how social media works and that you should be consistent and post every day and whatnot. Yeah.
That's super cool. And what's your parents' thoughts on this whole journey? Because, like, coming from Asian background, like, and I know Singaporean parents are quite strict. It's all about education, getting a degree, going to university, getting a job. How did your parents react to everything?
So at the start, because apparently I'm the smartest one in the family, so they had the highest hopes for me. So I think the first disappointment that they admitted to, have for me was the fact that I dropped out junior college. While the main reason wasn't because of cosplay, it was really because I didn't like what I was studying. They were disappointed in me. So I think that kind of led them to believe that I may not know what I was doing with my life. So when I started cosplay and started to be more serious about all these content creation thing while I was studying. They were very concerned, but they did let me do whatever I want as long as my GPA, my exams were okay. So I think the big issue was when I was, before I graduated with my diploma, they kind of asked me, what do I want to do? And I think I told them I would want to try to do this content creation thing full time for maybe like half a year. And they were very against it. They didn't stop me exactly, but I could tell like there was tension in the house because they would come and talk to me time to time and be like, is this really what you want? And I'm like, so that actually led me to have a lot of arguments with them, which eventually led me to move out of the house actually, which is very rare for people my age in Singapore. So I actually moved out of the house for about 6 months to kind of live with another creator, and we kind of call that like the content house. You know, every day we're just churning out content. And I came back home after 6 months and my relationship with them definitely improved. And I think during that 6 months that I worked really hard, they kind of seen like the work I put out and the brand deals that I've been getting. So I think that kind of assured them that their daughter knows what they're doing. So after 6 months, I came back home. It was great. We talked it out. There wasn't any more tension anymore. So I think that me moving out kind of led me to make my parents see, try to understand what I'm doing, what social media is to the current generation, and basically accept me 100%. Yeah.
Cool. Was it they saw that you were working with some big brands, that they knew those brands, and they're like, oh, that's so cool that our daughter's working with this big brand. Is that sort of when it clocked, or was it the sponsorship deals, the money where you could make a living from this? What was it that made them be like, okay, this is possible for my daughter?
Thing, you know how traditional parents are, they are only like familiar with very household names. So I think during that 6 months I worked with like Singapore Tourism Board. So I made sure I told them like, hey, I did this. And then them being Asian parents, they'd be like, oh, you worked with a government agency. Oh wow. You know, my daughter must be pretty good. So that coupled with the I don't tell them exactly how much I'm making, but I tell them a really comfortable amount, and they're happy that I have something stable. Because I think that's really all what parents want for their children. They want their children to be secure, to be happy, and to be stable.
Got it. So if we take it back so I can sort of better visualize things. When you had 20K followers, you were 18 years old, that's when the agency approached. What year was that?
That was in sometime the end of 2018. End of
2018.
20.
Got it. So 2018, and then I guess at 2016 was when you started cosplaying. Got it. And then from 2018 to 2021, you're working with the agency.
So specifically the end of 2018 till the end of 2020, is it 2 or 1? I think 2022.
Okay.
My gosh. I think at the end of 2021, oh, time flies. The end of 2021. Yeah.
And when did COVID happen again? Yeah.
The end of 2019. Was it the start of 2022 or was it 1 year after?
You're right, it was 2020. It was beginning of 2020, end of
2019.
2019. Oh, okay. So that
Yeah.
means you had a year of no COVID, then 2 years of like COVID while in that.
Yes. Oh, time flies.
And then during those 3 years, how was your growth? How many, you started with 20,000 followers. How many followers did you have by the end of working with the agency?
So I started out around 20K followers, and I remembered that before COVID, I had 75,000. So that was about the start of 2020.
Got it.
Then from 2020 till now, that kind of just accelerated because of like consistent posting, and social media was booming during COVID, so I was prepared. So that's just accelerated. Yeah.
And what was your main plan platform, Yuli?
I think during COVID, it was definitely TikTok, but I vibe more with Instagram. So I would say Instagram and secondary would be TikTok.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, in which year did you drop out of junior college and move out from your home?
I dropped out of junior college at the end of 2017, and then I moved in to my new home. It was still during COVID, but it was like towards the end. So I think in 2021. So I think the in August 2021. So 6 months to about the start of 2022.
And during the 3 years with the agency, I guess, yeah, that means you would have already sort of quit junior college. Was the agency getting you sponsorships and deals? Were you able to make a living while working with the agency or not yet?
I would say my income then would not, it's not directly from the agency. It would be people that come directly for me. I would think of the agency more as a training center than a company that like manages you. Yeah, I would liken the training, I would liken the agency to be a training center.
So during that time, was most of your income coming from like sponsorships or donations on live TikToks? Where did most of it come from back then?
Most of it came from donations at the time, because I think I was too small of a creator to be negotiating brand deals. A part of it came for brand deals or like small TikTok music ads, and a really small don really small part is like live stream. So that was really the income portion. I think it has changed a lot now that I have grown and I like PR and stuff, the bulk of my income, more than 50%, is from brand deals and brand deals. Yeah. So it has really shifted.
That's so cool. So that means the moment you moved out with your colleague, that's sort of when you sort of quit the agency. That's also when you wanted to prove to your parents that you can really make this serious. When you moved out in those 6 months, before, like at the beginning of the 6 months, how many followers did you have? And after the 6 months, how many followers did you have?
I think I could only remember TikTok, but I remember before I came into the house, I only had like 100,000, 200,000 followers on TikTok. And by the end of when I moved out, although that TikTok account has been taken down, has been banned, but I remember growing it to about 700,000 and I was really proud, but it got banned. So I think the TikTok ban was what made me focus on Instagram instead. Because generally TikTok is more trend focused, is for the really young generation. And realistically speaking, brand deals on TikTok is not as lucrative as it you would receive on Instagram. So yeah.
Got it. And then in those 6 months going off on your own with your colleague, how did you go about getting brand sponsorships? How did you get to work with Singapore Tourism Board? How did all those things happen? Were you doing outreach? Were you messaging companies on top of creating content every day and grinding?
I think for my part, I do understand that other creators would outreach, but I think I didn't really understand what that was. So I was really lucky that all, in fact, I think all of my brand deals that I received was people who found me through my creative works. So because Singapore is really small, once an agency work with one creator, they usually tend to rehire that creator. So I've been lucky enough to been working with the same few agencies and PR managers to for brand deals. Yeah.
And then, which year on that timeline did you start really doing a lot of skits and comedy?
I would say long form skits would be sometime last year, but admittedly I haven't been doing much because that really takes a lot more like creative thinking and script writing and time to film. But generally, like jokes and all that would be the bulk, yeah, last year, I would think. Before last year, I was doing more, I would say, simp a baby stuff, you know, like that was the, I think 2020 2021, 2022, COVID era, everyone was crazy about like simping, mommy and but woof woof and all that. And obviously I kind of leaned into that and realized like I didn't want to be that kind of character. I mean, while I do appreciate all these comments on my Instagram, yeah, I kind of wanted to get out of the whole pandering to Sims kind of content and just decide to make entertaining content instead. So that's when like the comedy and skits really accelerated and evolved. Yeah.
Yeah, on that like topic, what's your thoughts on like OnlyFans? Because like creators are crushing our OnlyFans, and like some of them don't even post nudes. It's just sort of like simp content. Is that something you ever considered?
I think OnlyFans is a great platform. Platforms like Patreon, Ko-fi, OnlyFans is definitely a great way to empower creators as another platform of income to support their hobbies and work. But I feel like OnlyFans is not as easy as the top creators would advertise it as. I am very worried for the younger generation because it is advertised to be so easy. You just post a few pictures of your feet pics and you earn like $100. That is really not true. There is a lot of work that was done behind the scenes for all these top OnlyFans creators. And most young OnlyFans creators, they would fall into the hole of showing too much. And that is something you can never take back. Once you show it on the internet, you can't really take it back. And then it's just, I feel like there isn't enough education done to younger creators who want to start OnlyFans, because the reality is that it's not as easy as it sounds. So I have a couple of friends who actually consider starting OnlyFans, and I give them my opinion. I told them like, if you really want to start this, then you definitely have a strategy. You should have a strategy. You should ask yourself, when are you gonna exit? And you should know that the consequences of having OnlyFans would mean that you are a brand risk for most of the brands out there. While it is getting better, I think most brands right now are more open to the idea of like creators having Patreon, having Ko-fi, having OnlyFans. It is still not the best. So if you want to be a luxury creator in the future, you want to work with Dior and Chanel, it'll be really hard.
Tell me about being a luxury creator. That's the first time I heard that term, and you're right. There's some creators that work with brands like Chanel and Dior. Right now, sort of when I think of those brands, I just think of celebrities, actors. But I guess I'm slowly starting to see creators get to that stage. Tell me about, like, is that one of your goals, and how do you become a luxury creator?
So right now, I'm definitely not a luxury creator. If this is being a luxury creator is something that I might consider in the future when I am definitely older. All this knowledge that I have right now is because sidetracked a little bit. I have like two day jobs apart from being a content creator, and one of the day jobs is an influencer marketing for a media agency. So I handle influencer campaigns. I am the middleman between the clients and creators. So I realized that clients in general, they look for creators who are their consumers. How these creators show up to their clients is by using the relevant hashtags. So creators out there who wants to be in the beauty space, who wants to be in the luxury space, the number one step is to first to be a true consumer and fan of their product. And then the second thing would be to create quality content centering around their product. It can be in the form of like a review, get ready with me, or like, hey guys, I bought this today. I'm going to test it out for a few months and things like that. And the third tip would be to hashtag, to tag the brand, to put in relevant hashtags. For example, it's Chanel has a new SS24 campaign. Hashtag SS24 Chanel. So it's like specific hashtags that would really make you seen by the brand. And the fourth tip would be to be consistent. So you would definitely want to do a lot of postings about the same brand, Chanel, and you would want to avoid doing postings about competitor brands like Dior. But that's just like an optional tip. Yeah. But I guess these three tips would really elevate your presence to the brands that you really want to work with. Yeah.
That's so cool, Yuli. Like, that's amazing. You have 2 day jobs, plus you create content every single day. How do you juggle so much and like not get burnt out? What keeps you going?
I think because of my past when I was juggling studying and content and practicing at the same time, I'm very used to long hours. And I think right now, the insufferable feeling of not being good enough drives me. Okay, that was half a joke, but I'm sure many creators out there feel this way. I am very aware of creators feeling burnt out, feeling like they're not good enough, and admittedly, I am one of the victims. But I like to see it in a more positive light, where it's my driving force to do my best every day to kind of juggle whatever I have right now. I do enjoy all the work that I am doing right now because I feel like I learn a lot. And knowledge is something you would wanna get a lot when you're young, right? It gives me the experience, it gives me the mental resilience. Yeah, so very grateful.
So like right now, Yuli, like are you sort of doing everything on your own, like doing all your emails, brand negotiations, content, are you doing it all on your own on top of your sort of 2 day jobs?
I'm grateful to have a friend that I really trust. He's like my friend cum manager. So he is the one that will be negotiating with for me, handling all the emails, and sometimes he do provide creative ideas for me to work on. So I work very closely with him, and my hopes for the future is that I would eventually hire a team. Right now, I'm the one that's doing all of the video editing for my content. And I think it's really hard for me to let this video editing portion like delegate it to someone else because I'm a person that trusts in my own work and I have that ego that like, oh, no one would would create this video better than me. But I think this is something that this year I would definitely want to work on so that in the future I would have a team and scale as a brand much, much better. Scale much better. Yeah.
That's awesome, Yuli. What's your like? Do you have what's the plan or goal for the next few years? Do you want to sort of eventually shift to doing just content full time? Do you want to get into like acting, music?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So this year I've been working on actually after work, I have three things that I usually do. It's one is singing class, one is dancing class, and one is the gym. So in the future I definitely would want to be an actress that is able to sing. I have a love for making meme songs. I have actually made a few, if you guys noticed, but yeah, I would definitely want to like make meme songs and actress, yeah. I think the only thing I might not want to be is a YouTuber because being a YouTuber is hard, guys. So, yeah.
Yuli, how hard is it to make a living out of being a creator? Like, is it impossible? Like, is it how difficult? Because I know so many people that have a lot of followers, but you're right, it's hard to do it full time, even if you have a lot of followers. How hard is it? Like, what's stopping? Like, I could see people with 50,000 subscribers and they're doing YouTube full time, and I could find someone with 3 million TikTok followers. And they have, a job and they can't do that full time.
Yeah, I think the question for all creators out there is, did you strategize how you would grow? So I think planning is definitely the most important thing. So for example, a 50,000 subscribers YouTuber, he would plan his content to be brand friendly. So brand friendly meaning that he could seamlessly insert advertisements without it being like a real sellout in his content. So his content is wired in a way where brands can easily work with him, as opposed to TikTokers, for example, just generally, TikTok that only dances, right? And the TikToker has amassed 3 million followers. Great, but how would, as a brand, I would be thinking, how would I be able to work with this TikToker who only dances? Would he dance with my product? I mean, that isn't really, viable. So I think for creators out there who wish to start out, my first question would be, do you have a strategy? And If you do, I would suggest you to talk to, if you have the chance to talk to other creators out there who are doing ads, you should definitely have a talk with them and find out how did they start and just kind of learn from them. How did they get these brand deals and stuff so that you could strategize on how you would get yours. So strategizing at the start, planning your content to be brand friendly. At the end of the day, you should ask yourself, what is your content serving for? What is the purpose of your content? For me, I would comedy skits. Skits, I think, is a great way to seamlessly put in any brand or ad placement. So that's why I love to do skits. Talking videos is also one of a good template to do content because you can easily talk about anything under the rainbow. And that also means that you are a good salesman for the brand. So things like that I feel creators should definitely strategize, plan before they start their creation journey. And then the last part would be outreach. It would be being visible to the brand. That really is the last step to getting the brand deals. Yeah.
And right now, do you do any outreach, Julie, or is it all inbound?
I should do outreach. I should. I've been reminding my manager to do outreach for me, but no, yeah, so far everything is inbound.
Huh. And then with someone like you, how often are you doing brand deals each month?
I think the past 6 months it's been more consistent, so I would receive about two to three brand deals a month. But that only really happened when last year I started to be more open about being Singaporean and I started attending Singapore events, like makeup events, PR events. And that's when I guess people really get to know that I'm from Singapore, and that's when all the brand is kind of flooded. Yeah.
That's super cool. I love how you sort of shared your strategy when it comes to creating content that is sort of easy for brands to insert their product into it. How about when it comes to growing? Is there any strategic way that you can consciously grow, or are you sort of at mercy to the algorithm?
So for creators who are just beginning to start out, because you do not have your style yet, you don't really know what kind of content to do, the first tip I would give to creators who are starting out is first is to trend check. So following trends is really the easiest way to be visible. I mean, who doesn't love trends? So yeah, so you are kind of a victim to social media algorithm when you first start out. It's only when you have surpassed like a certain following or you have established your style, your template, then you could really be more original and do original content. But original content as well, it has a strategy to it. Personally, for me, I am very data analytical. So for any original content that I do, I make sure that I kind of track the data. So if it doesn't perform well, I would then ask myself, oh, why? And then I would make little changes to it. I would ask my friends and family around me for opinions. Like, do you find this funny? Do you find this flow a little bit wonky? And I tweak it from there. So if you're a seasoned creator, you have the freeway to try anything you like. And you know, you wouldn't Your views wouldn't be so sad. For new creators, definitely follow what's trending, interact, make new friends, collaborate with smaller creators or creators around your size. And once you have found your style and template, you're good to go. Then you guys can just work on your style. Yeah.
What's your thoughts on collaborating? That's something I do notice that you do in your skits, you collaborate with creators. Right now, do you just work with like collaborate with like Singaporean creators? What's your approach when it comes to collaborations?
I think collaborations is a great way for all creators to scale. You would see big creators like, I don't know, at the top of my head. You would see big, it's like how Taylor Swift, because I'm very love the Grammys, but you would see like Taylor Swift collaborating with Lana Del Rey, and that's really just merging two communities to like one. So I think collaboration is a great way for creators to scale. I used to suck at collaboration because I'm very shy, so I feel very insecure. I'm like, oh my God, does this creator want to collaborate with me? But and I think this is a very common problem that most creators face, because and contrary to belief, most creators are introverts and shy. So I would really encourage all creators out there to step out of their comfort zone to go and ask for a collaboration. Whenever I travel to new countries, my first question would be, okay, who can I collaborate with in that country? So I've been trying to work on reaching out to other creators, but that's still a work in progress. Yeah. While some people think like it's only good to collaborate with someone that is around your size, like your following, I don't truly believe that. I feel like you can still learn and create good content with creators that are smaller than you, as long as you like their content. Yeah, as long as you vibe with the creator, numbers and following really doesn't matter. Yeah.
Are there any sort of influencers or idols or actors that you sort of look up to, model and follow and take inspiration from?
Definitely a lot. I don't think I can remember who I was inspired when I was younger, but right now, because I'm getting a little bit more into makeup, so I've been following influencers like Jushika, and I really like this girl called Jihoon. I really like their style and their confidence, that confidence in the camera. For example, for Jihoon, I really like how she talks about her daily life and how she connects with her audience. I think that is something I would definitely love to learn. Jushika, her makeup skills are amazing. And thirdly, I love this girl called Lina Dadong, a Vietnamese girl. Oh, I love her because she's so funny. Like her humor is yeah, I don't ever think I can be as funny as her, but I would love to be. Yeah.
And then when you collaborate with creators, do you just send them a DM on Instagram? Do you email them? What's usually your favorite approach?
I think it's easier for creators, so DM would work, but I do understand that some other creators, they would email, they would DM, they would ask a friend of their friends to try and ask. Yeah, I really respect the hustle. But I think one tip for collaborations is that you should have an idea on what exactly you guys can be collaborating on while reaching out. So that kind of gives the other person the idea, like, okay, if I collaborate with this person, I would get a really good skit. So that would really put you in a better position to collaborate.
Any cool interactions with, have you, like, through doing content, going to different events, have you met any cool creators, influencers, singers that you're like, wow, like, this is someone I've always wanted to meet and I can't believe I'm here right now?
Oh, yeah. I think generally I'm someone that's not really fazed by celebrities because I have this approach where everyone is human, we are all normal. But I think I was really inspired when I saw this K-pop group that I'm a big fan of. They're called G Idol. I saw them perform. I saw how hard they work throughout their performance. And I especially love their leader, Soyeon from G Idol, because she has done so much for the group. She is the composer, she's the director, she is also the singer, the main rapper, blah 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 blah. But when I saw G Idol, that kind of fired me up. It kind of reminded me why I work so hard doing what I do, because end of the day, it's not really for me. All these content, all these skits is not really for me. At the end of the day, I just want to bring some good in this world. I want people to look at my videos, have a good laugh, especially if they're having a bad day, if they can, let out a chuckle. I think that's really the end goal for me. So just like how G Idol inspire their viewers with their songs, I, as a content creator, would want to inspire my viewers with like humor or like educational stuff. Yeah.
I love that. Yuli, like, how do you sort of stay like motivated and not burnt? Like, are there days where you wake up and you just don't want to go to work, or you finish your work and you don't feel like creating content, you don't feel like switching up and sort of creating a skit, you don't want to be funny? What do you do in those instances?
So I usually, yeah, I think there are many days like that, and I would generally let myself wind down for a few hours. I would just not do anything, not th try not to think about work. So that really helps a lot. That kind of resets my mental capacity. And at the end of the day, I would always remind myself, why did I start this? And at the end of the day, it's really not for me. It is to really, I always remind myself, like, okay, today you have to do comedy because, you know, your viewers expect you to post daily and humor. Like, whenever I laugh at my own videos, it makes me happy because if I can laugh at my own videos, it means that my viewers would enjoy it as well. So that thought would always remind me to, like, they always say that if things gets hard, you always remind yourself, why do you start in the first place? So I think that is very true because I do remind myself, why do I start in the first place? Yeah.
That's awesome. Right now, what's your sort of daily schedule? Like, when if you do 7 uploads a day, how many of them would be skits? How many of them would be collaborations? Like, how many of them are following trends or just, yeah, like, what's the schedule, the strategy?
So right now I'm trying to try a thing where I post minimum twice a day. So that gives me a lot of estate in my page to work with. So that's about 14 days a week. So that allows me to experiment more. And I would allocate about 50% to comedy. It can be in the form of skits, can be just like a joke, or it can be collaborations. So generally 50% would be the genre comedy. And this in this comedy, it can be like fitness comedy, it can be relatable comedy and things like that. And the other 50%, it would be makeup that I've been trying to get into. So it would be K-pop makeup. The other part would be gaming related. So that's how I generally plan my content around. It would be a little bit of each. Yeah.
When you do gaming, are you like streaming or are you doing, yeah, like what's the gaming aspect?
Gaming aspect. So it usually would be gaming jokes, gaming memes, relatable gaming stuff. In the future, definitely would want to explore like actual gameplay because I am a huge fan of League of Legends, Valorant, and TFT. But I think the hard part for me is to be able to seamlessly add the gameplay portion without losing my original style, which is comedy. So how do I make a TFT game funny? So that is something that I'm trying to work on. I think it's the bulk of the content work actually. Generally content is not really about the filming. I think it's about the script writing, the execute, the planning. Yeah. So yeah.
How many hours of sleep do you get each day yearly? Like, do you have time to like play games? I know you're a fan of like Valorant, League of Legends. I used to love playing those games. So do you have time to play games anymore?
This year, no, not really. Also because I'm not in the mood to play games since I'm always thinking about content. It's very toxic. But generally 4 to 5 hours of sleep. So generally how my day looks like is I wake up around 9 or 10, and that's when like my day job starts. And I would work these 2 day jobs because it's work remote, so it's okay. I can still own time, own target. From 10 to 6, it would be day job. And in my free pockets of time, I would use it to edit videos or film videos for the day. After 6, it would be my activities like singing class, dance class, gym, hanging out with my friends, getting dinner with them, and filming other content. I'm very grateful that I love what I'm doing. So at least I don't feel like myself, but I do have time for games, like maybe an hour or so I can stick in on TFT. But yeah.
That's crazy. 4 or 5 hours of sleep. That's wow. Do you have like a backlog of drafts scheduled or are you day to day?
I'm trying to backlog my drafts, but I think because the amount of videos I'm putting out a day is not really that possible. But yeah, and I think I'm kind of procrastinating a little bit. Back in the day when I was young, I could do 6 videos in a day. But now I do 3, and I'm like, okay, you're done for today. You got your, 2 videos a day out. You can chill. Yeah.
What keeps you posting like 14 videos a week, Yuli? Like, is it like a follower count goal? Is it like the more you post, the more you'd reach, and then your analytics are better for outreach. What's like motivating you to do all this?
I think there are various of reasons, but I will start with what inspired me to do this is this creator called Hailey Bailey, and she posts 3 times a day. I think this is definitely her full time, but I was very inspired about how consistent she is. So that kind of gave me the idea, like, oh, what if I started posting twice or thrice a day? Would my followers grow exponentially? So I think follower goal is a byproduct of this. I would definitely wanna love to reach 1 million. And I think the third reason actually is to because I want to try new things, but I do not want to lose out my original audience by trying out new things. So I definitely would still have to upkeep my usual content. So that's when the idea of posting more came about. So I did the math, I did the math. I thought like, okay, I should definitely do it.
Is most of your demographic, is it split between 50-50 male, female, or is there a lot more males?
There's a lot more males right now. And I think, yeah, the realization that actually getting female followers is so hard. I've been trying to actively appeal more to the female audience by doing like relatable girl comedy, but it is still tougher than attracting male audience.
That's
Right now,
interesting.
the split is about like not too bad, 70-30,
Yeah.
30% female. Yeah.
And then when you were just doing cosplay and sim content, was it even more skewed or was it pretty much the same ratio?
Was like 92% male and 8% female. It's crazy.
Is crazy. Wow.
Crazy, yeah.
And then, like, what are your DMs like then?
Like occasional pictures, unwarranted pictures, them asking me out. Actually, most of them are wholesome. Most of them are actually just like DMs telling me that they love my content, that they wish to meet me one day, that they wish to bring me on dates. Like, nothing too nasty. I did receive like quite a number of like hate messages here and there calling me all the words you can think of. But generally, I think I'm generally not affected because the internet is the internet. I think once you put yourself out there, you kind of have like that expectation that. You know, people will just say anything and everything to you. So, yeah.
As a like a creator, like an influencer, like how do you meet like friends or like boyfriends? Like, do you use dating apps? Is it just meeting friends through friends? Do you reply to your DMs? Like, how does it go?
Personally, for me, I do not date my fans. So, for friends, it's usually meeting in real life. When you meet them at events and you kind of just vibe with them, it's the same way as how people all over the world make friends, actually. Personally, for me, for boyfriends, it would be because I'm a huge gamer, so I tend to have a tendency to like people who game as well, especially people who play the same game as me. So for everyone who plays League of Legends, you guys have a chance. But I think because of my busy lifestyle, I really don't have time for like a committed relationship. So I do understand that about myself, and I do not want like my partner to suffer because of like my workaholic tendencies. So I try not to stay in any committed relationship. Yeah.
Interesting. What rank are you in League of Legends?
I was peak diamond.
Whoa, Diamond One?
No, four. Back then was diamond five, and they still had like the five tiers. Yeah. You
Nice.
play?
I used to play a few years ago. I haven't played since. I probably played maybe it was like 5, 6 years ago. I used to play, yeah.
Were you like playing a lot?
I used to play a lot. I think I started in season, like end of season one, start of season two.
My God, you're so. I started season 3, so that kind of tells your age.
I'm born in 99.
99?
Yeah.
Oh, what? Oh, actually, I was expecting you to be like older because of this like podcast. Like, I think generally young people they don't do all this, but that's cool. I'm like 2000.
Oh, so your year of the dragon, this is your year.
It's supposed to be a bad year, but yeah, it's bad year.
Really? Is that the case? If it's your animal year, it's bad.
Yes, that's what apparently they say, that like, yeah.
Interesting. Because I'm 99, so last year was the year of the rabbit, which was my year. And looking back, I guess last year was quite a grind. So hopefully I'm like out of it.
Okay. I think this year will be better for you. Yeah.
And what's your main, well, what position do you main? Mid, jungle, ADC?
I was definitely climbing with support and mid. Support usually when I duo with someone. Like my duo is AD. If my duo is like jungle, then I'll play mid. Yeah. You look like a Vayne player.
No, actually, I used to jungle. I used to jungle a lot.
Oh. Huh.
But
Let me guess
maybe.
your main. Let me guess your main.
But I reckon, like, if I played now, I definitely would like to main or, like, AD.
AD. Why is that?
Wait, which, like, does. Back then, I feel like AD used to carry, right? AD used to be the role that would carry the team. Mid
Yeah.
would just, like, sort of similar, a bit below AD.
I would, yes, but I think right now, like the current meta, if your jungle is shit, like no matter how good the AD is, it just doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll if I will play now, I'll just play whatever role can carry.
I get it, I get it. They'll be jungle, I think. You'll be jungle.
Oh, really? Jungle's that good now? Oh.
Yeah, you could win like all the lanes, but if the jungle is just like such a gap, then just FF. Yeah.
Makes sense, makes sense. That's cool. I guess, yeah, and last two questions. Any recent discoveries that you have implemented in your life, Yuli?
Recent discoveries. Oh, this is a hard one. I probably have an answer, but I can't think of it right now. What about you?
I've been doing this thing where I've been like listening to myself much more. It was like something I was like going on this hike and like, I don't know, listening to the universe, listening to God, listening to yourself, listening to your gut feeling. That's something I've been doing more and more. So whenever I sort of am not too sure on a decision, I've been learning to like listen to myself and sort of do what my gut feeling or God or the universe says. So that's something I've been implementing into my life.
I think, yeah, after hearing you, I guess what I'm doing is I'm a person that likes to write and like reflect every day. So I think this year I've been learning a lot about myself and why I feel the way I do in certain situations. Like I've been asking myself to like, what is my life's end goal? Because while I'd love to be financially stable, being ultra rich isn't like the end goal for me. And so I was like pondering, I was like, okay, if $1 million doesn't make me like really happy, then what makes me happy? So I guess I'm still in like that pursuit of happiness, which are you still in the pursuit of happiness?
Yeah, it's such a hard thing. Like, I remember talking to a friend the other day, and I was like breaking down. I was like, okay, what do I like? Like, I guess I enjoy traveling, but then, like, if I travel too much, I sort of get bored. I guess I enjoy traveling, spending time with friends, talking to cool, interesting people. Okay, like, if that's what I want to do, like, how much money do I need to make? Like, I probably, like, if I made $50,000 a year passively, like, I'd probably be able to do that, look after my family. Well, my family doesn't really need, like, my mum and sisters, like, my sisters can look after themselves. My mum can probably, like, she enjoys working, and I think when she retires, she'll be fine. She's spent the last 30, 40 years to, you know, buy a house, and that could help her retire. So I didn't really need to look after my parents. So I'm like, okay, then like, okay, I need to make 50,000 a year. So that means if I want to make that passively, say, let's say you earn 5% interest a year, so I have to save up $1 million.
Oh my God, that's my exact thinking.
Yeah. So I guess
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'll save $1 million, and I'll be like, I can chill. And then I was like, huh, like that's all it took. And then it was weird because I had that conversation, but before I had that talk with my friend, you know, I wanted to like be like a billionaire. I want to make a ton of money. I want to have like mansions. I want to have like super nice cars, supercars. But then, like based on that chat, all I need is 50,000 a year.
Yeah. I think that's like the problem, right? Like it's like you can say whatever you want. I want to be rich. I want to, live in a big house, but at the end of the day, you have to be specific and like ask yourself, do I really need this? Yeah. Gets vibes.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I guess last question, what's your main focus and goal over the next 6 months, Yuli?
That's interesting. Actually, it's I don't know if I'll succeed, but the goal actually is to move out of Singapore and be based in the US. Yeah. Because a majority of my audience is actually in the US, and I feel like Singapore is a great place, but it is not a place for creativity. You don't get like A-star actors easily from this country and yada yada yada. So the market here is really small as well. So I definitely would love to venture out to the US or in US is my first choice. My second choice would be somewhere else in Asia, just not in Singapore. But yeah, that would be like my goal for the next 6 months.
That's pretty cool. Do you want to
Yeah.
do
Where are you
LA,
based in?
Sydney, Australia?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to go to LA, New York, Texas, any locations that you have in mind?
So, LA and New York, yeah.
Out of the two, do you know which one you want to do?
I think I know quite a lot of people in New York, so I would probably start in New York, but then my aunt is living in LA, so that's convenient. So, if anything else, I could just like shuttle back and forth.
That's so cool. I love that goal. For
Thank you.
me, I think something I recently learned, there's this guy who's talking about how a lot of people, they set a goal, they want to make 10,000 a month. Then once they hit that goal, they just set the next goal as 15,000 a month. The next goal is 20,000 a month. But he got advice from this really successful sort of eight-figure entrepreneur where he was like, you want to set your goal at 10K a month in just revenue. Then you want to set your next goal as 10K a month in profit. Then you want to set your next goal as 10K per month cleared after tax. Then you want to set your next goal 10K automated. And when he shared that, I was like, whoa, like that, it somehow resonated. Like, I was always a big fan of 10X, you know, like if you make 10K, you want to focus on making 100K a month. And if you shoot for the stars, you land on the moon type situation. But like that thing he said, I was like, wow, that really resonates with me. And I think that's something I want to focus on. I started asking myself, what would it take for me to sort of automate my business. I have like an online education company. And I was like, wow, like even if I want to make 1K a month automated, that is very difficult because right now I have to answer all my emails, I have to do sales calls, I have to talk to clients. So even making a small amount automated is difficult. So like making 10K a month automated is definitely like a solid challenge. So I think one, probably planning that out. That's probably my goal over the next 6 months, planning that out. And then probably taking execution over the next 3 to 5 years.
That's interesting actually. I didn't think like passive income is like a goal. I mean, it was always at the back of my head. Like I would have $1 million, like 25% per annum and like call it a day. But I guess, yeah, that kind of makes sense. But automation, yeah, I guess like automation is needed for scalability. And like with all the AI tools out there, I think it's easier for people, but like
And I think what you just shared with me. Oh my God, like it's probably way easier to like just work hard and save up $1 million in cash and make 10% a year versus making a business that is automated and making 10K a year. Like even if you make a YouTube channel and you want it to make 10K in AdSense every month, like that requires quite a lot of work. You require editors, content creator. It's passive but not passive. And it's so much easier to just save up $1 million. Oh my God.
it is, but like so like last year I was like looking for passive income methods as well. One of it was YouTube, and there's this like YouTube guru who said like, oh, you could automate it, but like, you know, using this AI tool, it's really not automation. But like, yeah, but like definitely I think YouTube and all that other businesses is definitely like more challenging, but I guess it gives you more satisfaction, you know,
Yeah,
like
yeah.
yeah. So end of the day in life, you're all just chasing about fulfill. We're just chasing fulfillment.
That's true. Like I think it would be really fulfilling if like even if like my company would say make, I don't know, hypothetically, let's say we make 90K a month and then 80K a month is just expenses. It covers, say I bring on like a CEO, it covers all the other employees. Like that 10K a month profit would be super fulfilling. Way more fulfilling than like having 10K a month in interest from a $1 million investment.
For sure.
Yeah.
I guess at the end of the day, it's asking yourself, like, because I guess you really have to work very hard for the 90K just to profit 10K. So like, is it like your goal? I guess. Yeah, if it's your passion and like,
If you had unlimited money, what would you do, Yuli?
crazy because I asked myself that a few days ago. I think nothing would change. I would continue to do what I do, but probably in a better quality. Like just scale everything with that amount of money. Yeah, but I don't think my life would really change. Like, sure, maybe I would rent like a bigger house to do like better productions, but that's really it.
Oh
What
my
would you
God.
do?
Ooh, what would I do? I think you're right. Like, I would probably keep doing what I'm currently doing. And I got that inspiration from like an older mentor. I have this sort of older friend. He has a big business, does like 9 figures a year. And he looks like he's stressed. He's always on his phone. He always putting out fires. He has like different sort of legal matters that he's handling and issues with tax, and like he looks like he's just always dealing with issues. And I asked him, so I was like, okay, if you had 7 days left, what would you do? And was like, party, have fun, like go crazy. And then the same answer for 30 days, 1 year. I was like, what if you have 5 years left? And he said, I'll probably keep doing what I'm currently doing. And I was like, whoa, like I was not expecting that answer. Like he's so happy with what he's currently doing, despite all those chaotic things. And I realized that like that's sort of what I want to sort of push to. So over the last 6 months, I've been trying to really just embrace the grind, embrace the work, and sort of like know that, hey, like I remember over the weekend, I think it was like last Thursday, Friday, I had a ton of messages from my team, but I couldn't get to them. Saturday, I was going to help my sister move, so that I couldn't reply. And then Sunday, I might be able to get back to the messages. So I had either two options, either one, like force myself to quickly go through the messages Friday night. Option two, ignore the messages and like stress about it. Option three, know the message is there, accept that it's there, have fun on helping my family, have a good few days, and get to the messages on Sunday, and there's a good chance nothing went wrong. And that's sort of what I did. And I was like, huh, like I think I want to do this more and more, and just sort of like really just like embrace the current, just be happy. Like I think what I have right now is what 18-year-old Andy wished he could have. So yeah.
Oh, that's nice. That's when you know like you made it actually really.
But
Yeah. Like good.
yeah, thank you so much, Yuli. I really appreciate the time. It was such a fun conversation. Yuli, where can people find more of you? Where the best place for them to get more of you?
Instagram. Instagram, TikTok, listen to Andy's podcast.
I'll link all your socials, your TikTok, your YouTube, your Instagram. We'll put Instagram on the top because I know that's sort of your favorite one. But yeah, thank you so much. It's so cool. Like you're such a hard worker. You've definitely motivated me to grind more. Like the fact that you like two jobs plus the content, you're so consistent doing two pieces of content every single day, and you're like surviving off like 4 or 5 hours of sleep. Like definitely very motivating, but you're also definitely so positive, and you're sort of like on this sort of journey of like figuring out life and sort of, yeah, like anything on that trajectory is like huge respect.
Thank you, thank you. You too. I know podcast is really hard. Yeah, and I think thank you for listening to us and like bringing our thoughts into the world because I don't really do this at all. In fact, I didn't do this at all. Like none of my followers knows what I really think. So I think it's a great opportunity for them to get behind the scenes or you know, yeah.
I love it. So yeah, if you guys made it this far into the episode, please let me know your thoughts. Hopefully you guys got some value from this episode. I had a ton of fun, and I'll see you guys next week on another episode. Peace.
Peace.